Blog Talk Radio.
Enlightened and lifted up so that we can go into another level with the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome everyone to this edition of Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. And by the way, hi Tasila, how are you today?
Oh, hello, how are you? Good to hear you.
Good to hear you. Are you doing good? Yes.
Yes, very good.
And are you excited about our program today?
I am. So excited. It's one of my favorite guests that we have.
Yes, for sure.
I can't wait to hear part two of his.
Yes. Part two of his message,
God bless
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So for right now, I would like for all of you to pick up your phones or grab your computers and go into your inbox or text your family, friends, even strangers, okay, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537, 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila. Or on the link wherever you see our post for this show. If you choose to listen on your computer, just click on the link, okay, or the picture. You might see our post on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. So just feel free. Click or dial in, okay? We are also on hsbn.tv. Our show is called The Message of Life, and we're live on Facebook and on hsbn.tv. We're live this Tuesday at 2 p.m. on Facebook, so you can see us there, okay? Or just tune in, because you can also find us on other social media, TV shows, apps, and platforms all throughout the week, you know, like to name a few: On Demand, Roku, YouTube, iHeart Radio, and many, many more. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, TNT, okay? Also, yes, we are inviting all of you to come and worship with us. We are Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, and we're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Our services start at 1:30 p.m. So if you are in California, come and visit us. Okay, once again, Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, 869 North Euclid Avenue, and our services start in Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and our services start at 1:30 in the afternoon, 1:30 p.m. Okay? Okay. All right, don't go away. We'll be right back after this.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is the best thing I've ever done. Yeah. In his arms, never been rejected, no. In his arms, always feel protected. In his arms, never been rejected. There's no place I'd rather be. Oh. I worship at your throne. Oh, I need you, Lord. I need you right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need your touch right now. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need your touch right now. Here I am. I'm on my knees, I worship at your throne. I need you, Lord, I need you right now. Hey, hey, hey. I need you, Lord, need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord, need you now.
To Christian Talk with T. Meyer and to Sela. And, you know, we just love being around and everything. And wait a minute. Hold on. There's something going on. Do you hear that? Wait a minute. What is that? Exactly what's going on, and And you know what time it is. Here we go for another. It's time for TNT. It's TNT time. So, or a TNT moment. And Sister Tasila, what do we have for today?
Oh, we have a good one. The question is, and who are the fearful and the unbelieving? God says in Revelation 21:7-8, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, as you can see. Well, in verse 8, it lists numerous familiar transgressions. But what of the fearful? How can fear be a sin? What is this sin? And who are those fearful? We see a bit of fear with the disciples, if you remember, while they were on the boat with Jesus. Well, everyone knows of the story of Jesus and his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples are so afraid of dying in a shipwreck that they frantically await sleeping Jesus. And as the omnipotent creator, he arises and commands the wind and the sea to cease their violence. And he asks them in Matthew 8:26, he says, why are you fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? The people doubted God's word here. That's what the whole problem was. And these are disciples and students of Christ, not trusting God's word. And when you don't trust in God's word, it results in timidity, dread, cowardness, lack of courage. God never will ever fail us. It's us, we fail God. Do you think Jesus would have allowed the boat to suffer a tiny leak while he himself was on it with them? Of course not. But we don't think, you know, we just jump to that one thing of fear. And here's a major key for everyone. Stay close to Jesus. That's one good key about it. At least Jesus was on deck. Christians of today who refuse to take a stand for Jesus and his true doctrine because they fear negative reactions from others are in for a hard time. That's the whole point.
If
you're not taking a stand for Christ right now, then you're falling for this, what's on this earth right now, which isn't good. But what are you know, when people are looking at everything that's going on right now, you can see where a lot of people don't want to get involved. And they don't even want to speak up for Christ. They don't even want to speak up for truth. I've never seen so many churches silent about some of the demonic things that are going on. I mean, high-level demonic things.
Really?
And so,
witchcraft.
Yeah, they fear. It's because they fear the negative reactions from others. And if that's your where you're standing, that's not a good place because overcoming was provided in all things. You know, when we first started, and we were speaking, we were talking about you being an overcomer, and it says they have to overcome. What are you overcoming? Fear, unbelief, deception of the Antichrist spirit. This spirit on the earth that tells you that I am okay and you're okay, do as you please, say anything that you want. When God says every idle word will be judged, the mainstream media is the host and prophets of fear. A lot of people sit up all day long and watch TV and become afraid. But that's their job because they work for the enemy. And they're pouring every negative energy that they can find down your throat. And what troubles me is that the world is being controlled by their lying lips. and that Antichrist spirit. And Jesus was speaking to the people and his time because they were afraid of being persecuted for following him. Now, this generation is afraid of being canceled by society or the cancel culture police, you know.
Right.
They might not be able to network their own business and be a part of all these different groups and all that stuff. The fear is unbelievable. And one of Satan's number one tools is fear. If you're fearful, then you're not trusting God, and you're not leaning to your own. You're leaning just to your own understanding and not the provision and promises of God. Are you abiding in the secret place of the Most High, or are you calling all the shots? You're the boss, then you will remain the boss. Are you operating from the inner court, being led by the Spirit of God, or are you playing on the outer court where you can easily become a casualty? The reading of God's word will help you build back up your inner spirit man. That's what has to happen. You have to build up your inner spirit man so that you will be prepared for this battle. Now, it's a war going on, and whether you like it or not, whether you want to be a participant in the battle or won't, it doesn't matter. The war has already started. And it's time for everyone to take their positions. It's up to you to make sure your position isn't filled with fear and unbelief, but rather filled with the love and the trust of God. Weigh all things by the word of God. This Antichrist system is filled with the judgment and self-righteousness of man, which doesn't measure up to God's standards. That's why in the book of Daniel, the Ancient of Days will stand up and hit his gavel. I pray that all the time. Lord, stand up and hit the gavel, because some of these things they're doing down here is not right. We're also looking back on Daniel. In the 70 weeks, they accepted the Antichrist and his mark and worshiped his image. Jesus had already warned us in Matthew 10:32, whoever shall therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. This was spoken in view of his second coming, which is his return to destroy the Antichrist and his followers. The deniers are the unbelievers, and they will not overcome because they will not believe that Jesus is Christ. They will completely reject God's truth. They will fall for Satan's lie and believe that the Antichrist is the true Christ. Facing death, they will choose the Antichrist over Jesus Christ. There was a time I thought this was far-reaching and far-fetched, and none of this could ever happen. But from what I witnessed personally in 2020, the lies and the deception and the embracing of lies by Christians, I know that we are truly at the end of this age. Christians need to alert up, come out of her, like the Lord says, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon, come out of the world, because you must overcome the evil world system that's present during the end time right now. So whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's what the word says. You're truly born of God. You are overcoming this world, not falling down to it and worshiping it. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The overcomers will not be fooled in thinking that the Antichrist is the real Messiah. Their faith is what prevents them from this deception. Those who are fearful, however, well, they are too timid to take a stand. And don't give me that God knows my heart stuff. I just told them I wasn't with Jesus so I can live, but he knows my heart. Stop. Either you're with me, just stop with that. I've heard that before from a few Christians. Just stop with that. either you're with him or against him. We must all examine now what side are we going to stand on, even to the death. Amen. Right, Brother T?
Oh, that is so true. Everybody stay put. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tecita. Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tecila McCain, TNT. And Pastor Tecila, I really loved everything that you said. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, you know. The Lord don't want his people to be fearful. You know, he don't want us to be fearful and unbelieving. And why is it? You know, why are so many of God's people so fearful and full of unbelief in this hour? This is the time we
should
be full of faith.
Right, and no one wants to even address it either. They don't want to talk about it.
Yes.
It's like a dirty little secret at church that people are unbelievers. And they're sitting there,
right,
and they're acting like, but it really has to be straightened out, because you could be easily overtaken by the Antichrist spirit, which we saw happen when 2020 came in. A lot of things shifted and changed people, and we're on a whole new set now, and a lot of people didn't get to cross over to the next spot because you're stuck unbelief. And under an Antichrist
stuck
spirit.
In unbelief and fearful, you know, and the reason for that so many of God's people are, not all of them now, but many of God's people, you'd be surprised. Many of them, the reason that they're so fearful and full of unbelief is because there's a lack of love, and many just, and then there's many who just, they just don't believe in God's power. They just don't believe that God can do a lot of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And many have no faith in the Lord. They have no faith. You see, when you have unbelief, when people are walking in unbelief, it can cause fear to increase in your mind and in your soul. Anything that pops up, that come your way, that's negative, having an unbelief, not believing in the Lord, can cause fear. Fear to increase in your mind and in your soul, leaving you hopeless. And God helps people. God's people are never to be hopeless. They are never to be hopeless or feel hopeless. Fear makes you run. Remember that. Fear makes you run. Fear makes you panic or break down. It causes you to fold under pressure or to act hastily and without thinking. Causes you to act without thinking. Fear gives you a sense of helplessness. Therefore, many will turn to and put their trust in anyone or anything for help when they are afraid, full of fear and unbelief. People will run to anything or anyone, including false gods, like ungodly governments, science, technology, medicine, and even demons. Keep in mind that fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. Mm-hmm. Let's go back a little bit in the Old Testament, the book of Judges. There was a man by the name of Barak. And he was the captain of Israel's army. And he was told by the Spirit of the Lord through the judge and prophetess by the name of Deborah. The Lord prophesied through Deborah, who was a judge and a prophetess. The Lord told Barak to go and fight against Sisera. Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army. This was a powerful captain. And the Lord was sending Barak to go fight. But Barak was too fearful. He said that he will not go unless Deborah went with him. Now, the Lord told him to go. The Lord didn't tell him to bring Deborah with him. He told him to just go and fight. But he refused the Lord. Even after Deborah had prophesied and by the Spirit of the Lord to Barak, that he would win the battle. You know, the Lord is telling him, you're going to win the battle. But he was fearful and full of unbelief. Yeah, so full of unbelief. Therefore, Deborah told him that, okay, she said, I will go with you, but the honor will not go to you as being the captain of Israel's army. Honor will not be to you. You know, when a captain leads his army and they have victory, then when he comes back, the people give the captain all kind of honor, right? Because he won the battle.
Right.
But Deborah told him, this honor won't be to you. I'll go with you, but the honor will go to a woman. It's going to go to a woman who was not a warrior, just an average woman. This woman would kill Sisera, the enemy of Israel. Yes. The lady's name was Jael. Jael.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can, everyone listening, you can read this whole story in Judges chapter 4. Time won't permit us tonight, but Judges chapter 4. Just read the whole chapter. It's really interesting. Another example of being fearful and unbelieving is the children of Israel when they were out in the wilderness. They were afraid to conquer the inhabitants of the promised land so that they could take the land by the power of the Lord. They were fearful and full of unbelief. Therefore, the Lord made that generation remain in the wilderness with their very clothes being a witness against them. As the years went on, their clothes and shoes remained fresh and new, but their bodies waxed old until they all died right there in the wilderness. They all died except for Joshua and Caleb because they were full of faith in God and they believed that God could deliver their enemies into their hands. So the Lord spared Joshua and Caleb, and a new generation came forth, and Joshua led them on into the land of promise. And you can read all about that in Numbers chapter 13. Just read the whole chapter. The apostles were ordinary men, and you brought this out, and it was good. Most were fishermen. God had them in training, just as he has us in training. Now, the apostles, just like us, had to learn to be fearless and totally believe in the Lord and to be full of faith. Mm-hmm. But they did display their fears many times as they were learning, while they were in training. For example, and you mentioned this, when they were on the ship and a big, powerful storm came, and it caused all of them to be very fearful. So they ran to Jesus to wake him up. They were afraid that they were all going to die at sea. But Jesus rebuked the storm and said, "Peace, be still." And immediately there was a great calm. Now, I have to say this about the apostles, okay? Now, they might have been fearful, but they did the right thing by going to Jesus. If you're fearful and you're going to run to somebody, run to Jesus. And however, Jesus was a little upset with them because they themselves didn't rebuke the storm in his name. And this is what Jesus wanted them to do. Use the authority in his name and rebuke that storm. If they had done that, then the storm would have immediately left and it would have been a great calm. The Lord was still having them in training. They let the fear overtake them to the place that they didn't step into their authority that the Lord had given them. Jesus wanted them to know that if they believed, that they could do what he does, just as he's telling us today. He don't want us to be fearful or faithless, but to believe. The apostles, another example, the apostles ran when Jesus was taken to be crucified. They were full of fear because they thought that the Romans were going to take them as well. So they ran and forsook the Lord. At another time, Peter denied the Lord three times because he was fearful. And at another time, Peter was actually walking on water until he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked upon the situation. And then fear came in, and that's when he began to sink. Then he did the right thing. I still must say he called on Jesus, and he was saved. And that's one thing I can say about all the apostles. They may have been fearful at times, but they never stopped believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and that he could deliver them. They would call on him and he would deliver. That's what the Lord tells us today. He wants us to call on him for deliverance, for healings, for safety, and for provision. For it is written, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered." Remember the man who came to Jesus seeking him to deliver his son, who was often thrown into the fire by demons? All this time, the man thought he didn't believe. He thought he didn't have faith. Therefore, he asked Jesus to help him with his unbelief. What the man didn't realize You know, he asked the Lord to help him with his unbelief. But what the man didn't realize is that he did believe. He showed his belief and faith in Jesus when he went to Jesus in the first place, number one.
Mm-hmm.
He already believed.
Right.
And when he asked, Jesus to help his unbelief, he showed that he believed again. And Jesus did. Jesus helped him to have stronger faith and believe in him by healing his son, and that strengthened that man's faith, trust, and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ even more. He already had it, but he got strengthened even more because the Lord helped him with his unbelief that he thought he had. Christians, don't let your unbelief cause you to lose your faith and trust in Jesus in this hour, because you are opening the door to fear. And if fear is not taken away or cast out, then death will be the next step. Keep in mind that what the scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, continually believe in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. So keep on believing in God and be fearless so that you can live with him forever. Your unbelief will stifle you when it comes to doing God's will. Remember when the apostles tried to cast, his will and work. And remember when the apostles tried to cast out a demon but couldn't? What did Jesus tell them? He said it was because of their unbelief. They had to build up their prayer life and fast more, because some spirits are stubborn and will not come out unless you are prayed up and have fasted before the Lord. Matthew 17:19-21. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For truly I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing, he said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You have to be prayed up.
Mm-hmm.
Your unbelief will keep you from entering into the kingdom of God. Keep in mind that if you truly love God, believe in God, and have faith in God, and have no fear, then God moves on your behalf. These are the things that move God. When you're fearless, full of faith, and you truly believe in him, he's moved. When the Lord says, fear not, then we should fear not, but believe.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
Amen. And I remember one of the times when Jesus got really upset and couldn't work because of unbelief. So if Christ is God and he can't operate because of unbelief, then and he had to leave the scene. He said, I can do no works because of the unbelief. And then if the Lord shut down the children of Israel and didn't allow them to enter into the promised land because of unbelief. God hates unbelief. We got to get those things together, you know, and not just say, Lord, Lord, but really, truly believe in him and trust him for all things. And this was just beautiful. I loved it. And I love the power of the Lord. Like when the man said that he didn't have it, God is here to give it to you. So if now is the time to straighten out all this stuff, your fears and your unbelief. Don't wait.
Amen.
The man said,
don't find
my unbelief. Help it, Lord.
Yes.
So we need that to be helped. Say, for instance, an attack comes to America. You want to be in a place where you're believing and trusting God that he's about to move and he's going to do something to take you from out of that situation, or change the situation, or hide you in a situation. The Lord can do many things in these situations, but he has to see belief. That's beautiful.
Yes. That is. It's great. And you know, and we have a guest that's going to tell us a lot more also about about what God is doing and what He's about to do, and we have to have faith that in God and believe the word of God and believe in God. And our guest today is Elder Russell Paul Scott of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. How are you, my brother?
Hey, Pastor Demar.
It's good to hear your voice again, and we're so glad that you're back, because we want to hear part two. And we just felt like you didn't have say a lot, or that basically that you had more to say. So we wanted to give you a chance to go ahead and complete your message. You know, but before you do that, let me tell the people about you. Those of you who may have missed Russell the first time, he's back again to give us a good message, and I'll tell you a little bit about him. Russell Paul Scott, born in Burbank, California, he always had an interest in God, but was your, typical teenager. However, shortly after he graduated high school, he got saved in 1973, which was when he received the Holy Spirit. He began to continue searching for truth as he visited various churches and church meetings and Christian groups and listening to many preachers on the radio and so on. Then he heard a radio broadcast by Reverend Raymond Cirillo, who put the call out for people to become the fully manifested sons of God, and that caught his ear. It was at that time, Russell felt that he had found the truth and answered the call in 1974 and joined the Upper Room Ministry under the leadership of the late Reverend Ray Cirillo. Russell has been walking in full faith before the Lord ever since he heard the message from Ray Cirillo. And as time went on, revelations of God's perfect plan of the ages was being revealed to him in many different ways, and it stayed in his heart and mind. God began communicating with Russell in dreams and visions and peculiar experiences, making his plan of the ages more clear. Russell met and married his wife, Jacqueline Paula Scott. I like that. Her middle name is Paula. His middle name is Paul. And had two beautiful children. Russell went on to become a software engineer and is still a software engineer even to this day. Russell remained under Ray Cirillo until Ray went on to be with the Lord in 2004. But still, Russell remained as an elder in the Upper Room Ministry until 2011, when the Lord impressed him to leave. He later, in that same year, joined Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, where he continued his position as elder, and he quickly became a pillar in the church, continuing to teach and share the word of God to the congregation and to many over the internet, and continues to give out the prophetic warning to whoever has an ear to hear. And he is willing to go wherever the Lord leads him. Everyone, welcome Elder Russell Paul Scott.
Yay! Woo!
All right.
Yippee!
We're really glad you're on the show, Russell. So just do your thing, man. We're turning it all over to you now.
I'll just tell us some of the things the Lord's been dealing with you about.
Yeah, I guess what he's been doing, well, he's always dealing with me. The state of perfection is kind of what's been on my mind lately. But how only God could define what's perfect. I mean, that in itself shows you how great God, how amazing God is, that He can actually define what's perfect. that's just that's something just think about that for a while and it'll really get your mind going. How amazing, you know, that everything, there's perfection and then there's everything else. And right now we're living in everything else.
Right.
So that's what we want to, get to that state, because that's the state of the kingdom. That's our ultimate state of living, is perfection. But before I get to that point, I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what's going, what the Lord was dealing with me a little bit today in the last few days was Babylon has fallen. This is out of Revelation 18, and has come the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I don't know if people have noticed, but that's really becoming more and more evident, and it's because of all of the, you know, like for a good example is where what is this Gay Pride Month or whatever, right? And you know they're trying to push this right into the schools, into the, I mean they're actually getting into a state of pedophilia. Anything goes. There's no such thing as men or women. Well, this is just demonic to the nth degree, and it's because these spirits have been allowed can't say they've been allowed out of the pit, but maybe that's the truth. I don't know where they came, but they suddenly seem to inhabit a lot of people in high places. And you notice how all the governments of the world, in America, especially, well, since the media in our country anyway is focused on mainly American politics, but how you see this so lost my train of thought there a little bit. They talk about solutions, this, and I'm talking about all the media, and you know, and there are a lot of people say, oh, Fox, or is this, none of them, and I don't know, whether they're conservative, liberal, in between, it doesn't matter. None of them, you ever hear them talk about God as part of the solution. And so that's a huge problem, because that is the solution to that. And that's why you also want to get out of Babylon, because it doesn't say it's falling. It says it's already fallen. This system has fallen. It's done. It's just running. It's on its very last legs. And I saw there's a good example of that, is because Russia, China, India and some other groups, they're all forming a new alliance, you know, and it's kind of started with Ukraine and that division there. But it's like there's the iron and your clay mixed in the image, you know, partly of iron, partly of clay. They're branching off, and they're forming their own economic system. And our dollar is starting to collapse, and the value of the dollar is starting to collapse, and many people seen, you know, prophecies and so on, and but you can see that every day just by going to fill up your car or whatever, go to the grocery store. So it's falling. It's God's pretty much lifted his hand off of America and off of it's not just America, because it's this whole system, this Western system, both culturally and economically, that, you know, that's been going on for probably 50 years at least, but it's definitely coming down now. And this other thing is starting to arise. Well, if you read in Revelation, it talks about the beast who hates the whore, you know, the great whore of Babylon, which is the system we're under. It's what's this containing this. And then the beast system in Revelation, talks about the 10 kings. They're going to form their own. They're going to do their own thing, and they're going to come after the great whore, and because they don't like her, because she's corrupted the earth with all of her idolatry and fornication and all this gay stuff and LGBTQ and all the rest of it. And they said they're going to. Let's see here. It says the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. That's really severe. So that's the judgment that's coming, and that's why if you're a Christian, you have to come out. You can't be caught up in the things of this world anymore. In times past, it was okay. but we're living right. We're it's serious now. It's game time. It's really time. You're not serious with the Lord now. You better get serious, because otherwise you're in for a rough ride. You are not getting through coming on the earth unless you are in the secret place of the Most High, where 1,000 can fall your side and 10,000 your right hand. I mean, they're teaching all. They're right in the process of destroying everything in this country. These spirits that have gotten our government. They're destroying our military. They're destroying our economic system. They're destroying everything right under your nose. And if you don't see it, you better wake up, because that's what's coming. Now, that's the bad news. Mm-hmm. But now I get back to the good news, which is the solution, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And
hallelujah.
Amen.
Just another thing, just so you don't, so you're not deceived, because Antichrist is a spirit. It says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof you heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. So it's real simple. If you want to test anybody to find out where they're coming from, ask them who Jesus is. Now, they may say, well, I don't know Jesus, but if they come out and you start seeing things against Jesus, you know what spirit that is, and you want to run from that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing the great whore Babylon spirit more and more become hostile toward Christians, and you're going to see more of it in the future, more and more persecution, because that's the time we're living in. But you just stand strong in the Lord, and he's going to take care of you. And that's what I want to talk about next, which is this high calling and the solution to it, which is the perfection of the church. The church needs to be perfected. If you read in, let's see, I've got so many little notes here. It says in Matthew 5:46, it says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, which is Colossians 2.
Mm-hmm.
And so that perfection, Christ is in a sense the body of God, right? He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Well, we are the body of Christ. So if you see, the church should be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Christ. And that means doing the greater works that Christ mentioned.
Right.
And because the kingdom of God, it says, well, one more thing on perfection, it says, or on being perfect, it says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So everything you see in modern Christianity, it's kind of like when Jesus came. Suddenly all the Old Testament law was fulfilled, and it was a new covenant, completely new covenant between God and man. And Israel, as we know it, it wasn't between the Jews anymore. It was between Christ and the world. He said he came into the world to die for everybody, not just one group of people. So what's coming now is in a sense, a new day, a new covenant, as it were, on the same scale. That suddenly all of this Christianity for the last 2,000 years is going to go by the wayside, because it's the impart ministry. And it had its purpose, but it's now time for a new relationship between the church and God, and that is to become one, for the Godhead to become bodily in the church, to become the true temple of God on the earth. And that's what's going to stop all of this, because if you go back to Revelation, where we were reading about the great whore and her judgment, she'll be burned, but then you read, it says, but then they're going to come after, for God has put in their heart, it's actually God's using these nations, China, Russia, and others, to burn down the system, to destroy it, really. And it says he put in their heart and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, because that's that until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And then, if you go to 18... Where is that? It talks about what's going to defeat. That's what I wanted. Where did I put that? Thought I had it here. Anyway, it talks about them making war with the lamb and the lamb overcoming and defeating them, defeating this beast that's going to come against the great, that's going to destroy the great horse, in turn is going to be destroyed by the lamb and his bride, which is the army of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
which is that perfect church. So these are the, we're living right there. We're living and we're seeing a lot of things fulfilled as I speak. I mean, this group today just met literally today to bring its new money system in as an alternative to the American dollar system and the petrodollar and all of that. They call it BRICS, and they're forming alliances as we speak. So things are already, it's right there before our eyes, and you see, with again, what's going on with our government and how it's collapsing with all this immorality and with all this lawlessness. Laws are not being enforced, or they're being selectively reinforced on certain groups of people, political enemies, all of these things. This is not America at all. This is something else. So it, don't be afraid of it. Just press to the Lord, knowing as both of you were speaking, you know, that's our only solution. That is the ark. That is the way out of this, to press into the Lord. And who knows, if you're called, if you're chosen, you might be, you'll find yourself in the bride of Christ. If not, you'll at least be at the wedding. And you want to be at the wedding for sure, because
yeah.
the wedding, people go
yeah.
to the wedding, they're blessed too, and they'll be taken care of. They'll be protected. So anyway, I want to talk now about this bride coming forth and what she's all about. And that's oh wait, I did want to mention that. Yeah, no, I mentioned that. Okay. Joel chapter 2, which is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible as far as biblical prophecy, and talking about the bride of Christ, who, remember, is going to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And it says any nation that will not serve you is going to be wiped out. So this mm-hmm. is the gospel that, this is that gospel. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel of the kingdom that will be preached into all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. And I'll tell you, because the church has not been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, because the gospel of the kingdom is all about demonstration of the power of God. Because they mm-hmm. said about Jesus, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. For the kingdom of God mm-hmm. is not in word, but in power. And if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is coming upon you. So that's the greater works people, the bride of Christ. They're going to do miracles of all shapes and sizes, and there's going to be no failure in this ministry of these people. And that's what we're coming into. But you could easily, if you don't come out of that spirit of Babylon, it's so powerful, you could be deceived. And even seeing miracles and stuff, you could say, oh, that's just like the scribes and the Pharisees. They're always casting out demons by the devil. They said that about Jesus because they were under the spirit of Antichrist. So it doesn't matter how religious mm-hmm. you are, how much you say, Lord, Lord, it's what's in your heart and how, and deep down, because that's where, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road, is what you believe and what you stand on. So it's really important to just press in. Now's the time to press in and pray and fast and meditate, and because again, yeah, he's our way out of this. He's our lifeline, and he's going to get us out of this, and it's going to be glorious. It's not just going to be get us out of this. It's going to be complete power, authority to overthrow all and destroy all the works of the devil on this earth, and to bring in the harvest and to bring judgment on the earth, because judgment comes when the sons of God show up, either blessing or curse. They are a two-edged sword wherever they go, because the fullness of the Godhead bodily is now being manifested. And wherever they go, whatever they touch, there's either going to be people embracing them or rejecting them, and that's going to decide the you know, if they're, whether they're blessed or the wrath of God. And Because if you go into a city again and they accept you, then the peace of God rests on that city. And the kingdoms come then, but if they reject you, you leave the city, then it's worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. So this is all going to happen all around. It's going to be chaotic, but it's going to be amazing to see this transformation of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. Because more than anything, the Great Tribulation is a clash between utter darkness of this world, which it is right now. It's in total darkness. That's why everybody's running into everything and banging in, and there's so much confusion because nobody knows nobody can see where to go. They think they can, but then they just run into another wall. But So when the light goes on fully in the church, then wham, that clash between those two kingdoms is great. You know, it's a great clash, and it creates great tribulation in the people. So we'll go back to Joel chapter 2 because that really describes these people to a T and who they are and how powerful they are. Let's see. Let me get to it. It says, okay, Joel 2, blow the trumpet in Zion. That's what we're doing right now. We're saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, come out of Babylon. Wake up, come out of Babylon. Babylon has fallen. It's not falling. It has fallen. It's that now. Mm-hmm. Think of it like the Twin Towers when they were on fire. They hadn't actually, but they were ready to fall, and then they actually fell. And that's kind of where we are. The towers are just coming down, literally, now. That was so, you know, 9/11 was very symbolic because that was really like the signal of America beginning to fall. And if you trace all the events back to that, you'll see a chain reaction of economic and social and moral. And we didn't repent as a nation. We got worse. We got worse, and we've gotten worse. So in the natural, it's gone the wrong direction because it's fell. It's falling. It's fell. But anyway, so we're sounding that alarm in the whole mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for his nigh at hand. So, yeah, it's a time of shaking. It's a time of trembling because all the things we thought, we could do, you know, whether we were safe, that we're on a good foundation. Everything's being removed. Your army isn't going to protect you. In fact, I can find a scripture that says don't put any trust even in armies of flesh and horses and all and weaponry and all of that and guns and that. You need something much greater than that. The gun is no match. You know, even like to say, you got to have the guns taken away. You can't take the guns away in case something happens and the government turns. Well, yeah, but what happens if a tank shows up and you have a gun? That's not going to work. So forget about even that, because we got in the kingdom. You don't need guns. There's no guns in the kingdom, and we want to get into the kingdom. I mean, literally get into the kingdom state. We want to get into that state of perfection. That's where we're headed. That's where your focus should be. And so, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. So you can see that everywhere. Just people, you know, nations squabbling. I need this. We need more oil. We need this. We need this. We need that. We don't have enough of that. It's just, it's Babylon. It's confusion. It's a mess. But here we go. Now all the bad news is out of the way. Here we go. Here comes the sons of God. Here comes the bride of Christ. After she's married and after she's coming down now as New Jerusalem out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband, and we know what New Jerusalem means. New Jerusalem is the capital of the kingdom, kingdom authority. It's not a place. It's not over there in Israel. It's in people. And wherever they go, they are New Jerusalem because of the power and the authority to rule this planet. That's directly from Christ has given them that authority through their marriage to him. Because it's like a king and a queen, right? I mean, if you're not married to a king, if you're just a peasant, you could be a peasant one day, and if you married the king the next day, you would now be sitting on the throne with him. That's just how quick things would change. So just think of it in that way. Marry Christ, you're on his throne. And his authority, but now he's going to use you as the vehicle, as his battle axe and weapons of war. what is battle action weapons war? Turning the light on, because light is like darkness hates light in this world. You turn on the light, all of a sudden, there it is. There's the battle. There's the clash between, as it were, two giants. You know, the Satan and his hordes, and God and his people and his angels, and it's just going to be a gigantic battle. But for the sons of God, it's just preach the gospel and heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. It's not like beat anybody up. It's just that the judgment will come for those who fight against them. Those are the ones, because the Revelation says the beast will fight them and try to overcome them, and the Lamb will destroy them, and the Lamb is Christ and his bride. But anyway.
Amen. A people come, great and strong. That's where you are.
Yeah. So here's how great they are. It says there had not been ever the like. There's never been anybody like these people. There's never been anybody with this anointing. I don't care. Even the apostle, all the apostles, as great as their ministry was, it wasn't Jesus. It wasn't the same level of Jesus. And this is even greater because Jesus even was restrained in a lot of things he could have done, because it wasn't time to bring the kingdom. But now it's time to really, God's really going to show off through his bride. Because, you know, they always call Christ the second Adam. Well, who's the second Eve? Mm-hmm. We know, his bride. And the first Eve was the one who got Adam, you know, deceived, got Adam to disobey. It's the second Eve that's going to get the human race to obey God through the new birth.
Mm-hmm.
And through their ministry. So you see a son of God, if you're not a son of God when this thing hits, and I'm not going to say you are, because these people are chosen for the foundation, but if you see when you run to them, they're who you want to follow. They will proclaim Christ. They won't be proclaiming anything else, believe me, because that'll be the acid. Mm-hmm. If they're proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, and he coming in the flesh, as it says, that's the spirit of God. That won't be the spirit of Antichrist. Don't go, oh, that's the spirit, that's Antichrist. No, it's not. Not if they're proclaiming Christ, but if they're proclaiming themselves as the saviors, some fallen men trying to save you. Oh, we have the solution. I don't care what they do. If they aren't proclaiming Christ, they're a deception. So you just watch out for that, too. So anyway, a fire devours before them and behind them a flame burning. It's like the Garden of Eden before them. Again, here's the two-edged sword. The Garden of Eden, meaning if you accept them, they're bringing the Garden of Eden to earth. They're bringing the fullness of the kingdom down to earth through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and sevenfold power. And they're starting to spread out and spread. They're like the river of life. They're starting to flow into the nations as they go out with this authority and power. But behind them is a desolate wilderness. Those are the ones who say, we don't want the kingdom of God. We want the beast. We want the beast system. We want to stay in our fallen, sin-sick, death-oriented, evil, wicked, perverted world. Then that means desolation for you and destruction from the wrath of God. Yea, and nothing shall escape them, meaning there's nobody on earth that's going to escape their ministry and have to make a decision one way or another, yea or nay. So that's what the sons of God are about to do. Because the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. And these people are going to be able to contain the fullness of God because they will be the first fruits, the first people on the earth to receive. And some might come out of the graves too, but they'll be the first people manifested on the earth besides Christ at his resurrection, to be in their resurrected state already. They'll be doing this work in their eternal bodies, truly born again. That's what real born again Christian is, not somebody who just accepts Jesus. You can be, as it were, born again in your heart, but we're talking fullness. They will never be outside of God's will. They can't do anything but God's will. They can't do anything other than the works of God. They can't make a mistake. They can't sin. They can't backslide. They can't do anything because they are in their perfect state. They've entered into perfection. So So you got to differentiate between everything we've heard in the past, because the Bible says, forget the old things. I'm going to do a new thing. And that new thing is the manifestation of Romans 8:19, the manifestation of the sons of God. Again, the bride of Christ. Their appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. In other words, they'll be able to move fast, and they'll be able to translate anywhere, move anywhere they need to be. They'll just be like, in God's hands, are like chess pieces. They're just, oh, somebody's crying for the Lord over here. Okay, send a son of God over here, over there.
Mm-hmm.
Go over here. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to be raised from the dead. Somebody needs a healing. Somebody needs a demon bound, cast out. Until they're just going to push back all of this world and all of the darkness, and eventually when they get through this earth, the whole world is going to be the kingdom of God, and there isn't going to be any more evil, because all of the chaff is going to be burned up by their ministry, not by anything they do, just by them showing up. But there's two ways to have the chaff burned up. If you accept it, they'll burn up the chaff within you, because the kingdom's in you. They burn all that out of you and put the kingdom in you through their ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And you just do whatever they tell you to do, and you're going to be in a great place. But if you say, no, I don't want that, or, oh, my Bible teaches me, I'm waiting for the rapture or whatever, or this or that. No, I don't know. And your spirit isn't in gear with the Holy Spirit. If you're not in the right spirit, yeah, then you won't see them. That's the key. If you're walking in the Holy Spirit, believe me, you'll know who these people are immediately. Or if you're called, or if you're chosen to be in this thing, you're going to be one of these people. It's one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Sun-clothed woman or manifested son of God, one or the other. And you can read that in Revelation 12, I think it is. Anyway, they'll run like mighty men. They'll climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march everyone in his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, because they're in perfect one accordness in the Spirit. They move with the Spirit constantly. Again, they do God's perfect will. They don't make mistakes. They don't give out false prophecies. They don't lie. They don't cheat. They don't steal. They don't do anything but God's perfect will. They don't sin. They can't sin. They're full of love, joy, and peace. That's like, so they're not going to be angry with people. Well, they might get a little upset, but they're so full of God that of the love, joy, and peace that they just walk away. They say, well, okay, if you don't like it, I'm out of here. But that's the state they'll be in. They shall not be wounded. In other words, neither shall they thrust one another. They shall walk everyone in his path, meaning a path that God's laid out, a perfect path. Again, they can't get off. They can't make a mistake. They're doing God's perfect will, not his permissive will, his perfect will. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They can't be hurt by bombs, guns, nuclear bombs. You could drop a nuclear bomb on them, and it's just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, big deal. I'm in here with the Lord, and I'm fine. I don't care what they try. They can't be destroyed. They're indestructible people. The earth shall quake before them. When's the last time you went to a revival meeting and saw the earthquake? The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark. The stars will withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executes his word. Because remember, these are the word made flesh, just like Christ. They are the word made flesh. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? Amen. So that's that's what we're contending for. That's what we're pressing in this ministry. We're pressing in to be sons of God. We want to be fully mature, born again in our new wineskins, doing the works of God. Because the Bible says when this gospel is preached, and I'm talking about with power and authority like you can't believe, like you've never even dreamed of, when that gospel is preached, then shall the end come. So I promise you, Jesus isn't coming for, he'll come, he's going to come in persons when they accept this, when they see that ministry. But as far as him coming himself physically and sitting on the throne, he's not coming till his bride has cleaned this mess up, cleaned up the house. They are house cleaners.
Well,
they clean up
Pastor
the house.
Pastor T always says Jesus is not coming in in person until he comes in person.
Exactly.
First. He's coming person.
Yes.
Exactly. Jesus,
first
Jesus died for our sins, but he died for his bride, too, and he died to bring perfection to the earth. He died for everything. He died to create the substance of this new creation. He created it when he, in the crucible, his death, burial, and resurrection, and all the suffering he went through. He created the pearl of great price, which is the substance of the kingdom, which is this divine, unlike Adam and Eve. You know, Adam and Eve were made of the dust of the ground. And so that's why they could fall, because they were made of the dust of the ground. They weren't made of this was a new substance that cannot be corrupted. It can't be, the devil can't touch these people, never, ever. They're forever in his, they're in their eternal state forever. There's no second death for them. They're done. They're a finished work. This is the finished work of Christ in his church. And finally the world's going to see what Christianity in fullness is all about, because it says all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And I don't mean in part salvation. I mean salvation of the body, soul, mind, spirit, and physical, the physical. Yeah, body, the physical mm-hmm. body, physical, the soul, all perfected, all in God's perfect state. And that's what probably more than anything disappoints me about the church today, is they're talking about everything but the sons of God, which is I don't know why they claim they have this prophecy, this guy and that guy and that, but I rarely hear anybody talk about the manifestation of the sons of God and who they are. But it's right there in the Word, and that's what I'm trying to explain right as today, right now. Yeah. So
amen.
I guess, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more time we have. I can keep going or.
Well, yeah, I just want to bring out this other part down here in 16 where it says, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, that's Jesus, and the bride from her dressing room. And mm-hmm. let the priest who ministers to the Lord weep between the porch and altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach. Because that's when judgment really comes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When he's moving in his bride.
Right.
Yep. That's what he's going to do, and that's the key to the last days. Don't look for Jesus yet. Come in the clouds without his bride. His bride comes with him. His bride does the work. He did his work. He said it is finished. So that's the beauty of God, and that's what makes Christ so great. He wants to share what he had with his people, with the church. He wants them mm-hmm. to be able to do what, to have that, to help save the world, as it were. And they will save the world, but it will be through him. But he's just going to have a time with us, because he's going to be the quarterback, and we're going to be the rest of the team, and we're just going to run the plays that he calls every time, never fail. And I don't care what it is. And we'll just march down the field and just wipe the devil's team right off the map. They're done. And the devil knows it, you know. He knows, because that's when he comes down. When the sons of God go up, he comes down. And that's why the tribulation is going to be so great, because Satan's going to let it all. He's going to let it all, you know. He's going full throttle, but he's going to be no match for these people. But he's going to deceive, you know, he's going to have his crew. And they're going to be in for a rough time, but. The thing is if you're in Christ, and you, especially right now, again, because it says the love of many waxed cold because of the evil time, and a lot of people lost faith, you know, like Ezekiel, the dry bones, and people lost hope. Where's God? So just hang in there. God always, he always shows up perfect, and usually the very last moment. He's going to be the last moment, God. Right when you think it's all done, that's when he shows up. When you've lost all faith in man, and a lot of people are losing faith every day in this system and in this world, and they should. You should hate this world. if you don't hate this world, the love of the Father is not in you. So just keep pressing in. I just encourage all of you, and whether you're in the army or not, great times are ahead because the kingdom's coming to earth. That means the end of all of man's problems. There's going to be no more accidents. None of your friends are going to die in car accidents or get shot on the street or, you know, have to go to somebody's funeral or go to the hospital. There won't be any hospitals on this earth when the kingdom's here, not one, because nobody's going to be sick. There's not going to be any bombs or tanks or wars. There's not going to be countries. It's going to be one giant global government of Christ and his bride ruling for 1,000 years. That's where we're living. And we're seeing it fulfilled right now. And anybody who says we're not living the last days, oh, you really need to start praying and ask God to show it to you, because this is it.
That's right.
That's true. That is so true. You got your eyes closed. If you can't see this, you're like, what is that? That animal that puts their head in the sand?
Yeah.
The dirt, ostrich? Ostrich.
Yeah, and don't be afraid. You know why people put their head in the sand? It's simple. It's what you guys touched on earlier. Fear. When you're a little kid and you're afraid of the monster, you hide under the covers. And just don't be afraid. God can create amazing things, but you got to just stay in tune with him. It's gonna be the greatest. This is the greatest time to be alive if you're a Christian. No doubt about
it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest opportunity and the greatest blessing, and to be able to finally see God and just do amazing things everywhere, not just in one little fork, you know, one little church or one little revival here. This is going to cover the globe. Nothing's going to escape this revival. And this revival is the revival. It's not the gospel of salvation, which is what we've had for 2,000 years. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And when you preach the gospel of the kingdom, what comes? The kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
And it's so beautiful because for once the world will see true, real Christianity and what Christians are really supposed to be. Not
exactly. No more confusion, no more import.
Right. It'll be the fullness of it. And it just, every time I you know, just knowing the pure word of the message of life and God's plan of the ages, I mean, when you hear about it, it's so exciting, because the God that you serve, the God that you love, the Lord Jesus Christ, will dwell in you and work in you. I mean, imagine that. You're going to be one with him, and not just in the figure of speech. I mean, literally one, just like you said, Russell, to the place that you can tell people, if you have seen me, you have seen Jesus Christ, because he's in me of a truth. And that's the kind of oneness. We in him and him in us. Just as much as God, as Jesus and God the Father are one, we're just as much one as they are one. We are one in them, or one in him, just as much as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and the Bride. You know, it's all oneness, and that's what God has always wanted. He always wanted to have a people that he could dwell in. God is spirit, and he wants to dwell in his bodies, and we are his bodies. That's a good word, Elder Russell Paul Scott. That was a good word.
Yeah, remember New Jerusalem and the temple of God has nothing to do with buildings or physical location. It's your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Yes.
That's
we
New
are
Jerusalem.
The people of peace.
Yeah. Peace, joy, and love. That's where all they spread.
Yeah.
Everything, mm-hmm. all that, remember the hippie movement of the 60s, that was peace, joy, you know, peace and love, right? But it was all peace.
Right.
The idea was correct. It was just, but there's no way to do it in the flesh. It's got to be done in the spirit by through Christ. It can't be done through me. See, in a sense, that was almost like an antichrist spirit because they're trying to do it without Christ, although a lot of people did get saved out of that whole movement. But nevertheless, don't be fooled into thinking man can solve anything at this point. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not fallen man, not 666 man. He's that's beast man. Beast man don't cut it. You got to have Christ. You got to have Christ in people. That's the only thing that's going to fix this world. And obviously right now, if you look at the church, it's almost invisible. It's almost invisible. So that means, you know. That,
yeah.
Is it hidden?
Yeah.
Are you still there,
what?
Russell?
Is it?
I was asking Russell, was he still there?
No, I think somehow he got cut off.
Maybe we'll play a
His
song.
Call dry. He might call back in. Don't go away, everybody. We will be right back as we come toward the end of our service.
Second time around, but before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies.
good. We're so happy, everybody, that you joined in for tonight. Thank you, Russell, Paul, Scott. And that was such a beautiful message for us today. You gave us a lot to think about. Pastor Tasila, anything you want to say before we call it quits?
Just Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our hope.
Amen.
The manifestation of Christ in his sons. Amen.
Yes. Amen. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night. God bless you all.